I'm Michael Fullilove, and I'm delighted to be here today with Jim Fellows, I think the best long-form journalist in the United States, but also, more crucially, for my purposes today, a non-resident fellow at the Lowy Institute. Jim is in Australia for a couple of weeks with his wife, Deb, and he's just given a terrific speech to the Institute entitled Election 2016, Has America Reached Peak Crazy? Jim and I came up with this title over the past week, but even in the day or two since we settled on the title, America has got more crazy. So Jim and I woke up this morning to news that Donald Trump had linked Ted Cruz's father to John F. Kennedy's assassination. Later in the morning, Cruz withdrew from the race, and we're left now with a situation where the presumptive nominee of the political party of Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, Dwight Eisenhower, and Ronald Reagan is the Donald. That is crazy. And there is no one better placed to speak about the present craziness than Jim Fellows. So Jim, I'm going to confine this podcast to the news of the moment and to Donald Trump. Let me ask you, first of all, how has Donald Trump got this far?
Before answering that, let me say, Michael, thanks so much for your gracious introduction. Thanks to you and Lowy for having me here. It's been a wonderful experience for Deb and me to be in Australia during this moment of Götterdämmerung for my nation's political system. I think Donald Trump has gotten this far because it's, in a way, it's like the 2000 presidential election where George W. Bush prevailed over Al Gore. A whole bunch of things had to go just a particular way for that to happen. I think something as similar is going on with Donald Trump. Partly it's the long crisis of the Republican Party, which is sort of now feeling the fruits of its deciding 40 plus years ago under Richard Nixon that it would make itself the white people's party, essentially, and not care about minority votes. Trump is, in a way, the evil final blossom of that. Partly it's just the dynamics of the competitive field. Jeb Bush, who was the just runaway favorite as the establishment candidate and got $100 million from various supporters, and everybody assumed a year ago it was going to be Clinton versus Bush in a dynastic rematch. He ended up being a weak candidate. Marco Rubio had his problems. The field was so large and so unwilling to cooperate against Trump that one by one, the non-Trump people killed each other off, and Trump sort of kept going higher and higher. There was an oddity of the Republican primary rules, which had been set up with the intention of favoring Jeb Bush, but ended up favoring Trump, the winner-take-all nature of a lot of the delegates. So Trump got a third of the vote and all the delegates, a number of these states. But most of all, I think it's the way that the Republican primary this time became indistinguishable from a reality TV show like Survivor or Donald Trump's Own Apprentice or like a pro wrestling match. And Donald Trump has exactly those histrionic skills of being a bully and a charmer and just not being slowed by any of the factual inventions that would stop other people. And so if this has been a reality TV show, he is the victor, and that's led him to the nomination.
But if Donald's skills, and you referred to him today in your speech as a carnival barker, if his skills match this moment, what does it say about your country that it produces a moment like this that matches the skills of somebody like the Donald? What is going wrong with America?
I think it says something quite bad about our national political selection system. And so I think that one of my themes that's sort of contrary to the main narrative is I think that Donald Trump is not a representation or a sort of a natural venting of very widespread hostility in the United States. He's somebody who is whipping up and fanning and even inventing this anger. And this moment in our political selection process, with the emphasis on TV and outrage and shouting and Donald Trump making physical fun of his opponents, a little Marco, low energy Jeb, Donald Trump going crazy if people mentions that his fingers are short, and just maybe Australia was spared that whole
We got that.
So I think it says something about the media political conjunction of this era that Trump could have taken advantage of it.
So you think it says something bad about the media and the national politics, but not necessarily something really bad about the underlying factors in the country. Is that right? That the country is doing better than you would assume based on the evidence of the national the presidential race?
Yes. I would not say that Trump's rise is in any way a good sign about the United States. But I think that it has been overread as a sort of core sample, taking you what the real temperament or real sentiment of the United States is. And there are two illustrations of that. One is until the moment when Donald Trump began to attack Mexicans as rapists and have a claim to bar all Muslims from immigration, there was no evidence in public opinion polling that people were very upset about immigration or that they were supporting Muslim bans. So this is something that he has kind of whipped up into a frenzy. The other is that while the United States, like Australia, like Europe, like every place else on earth, has its genuine economic strains and polarization and stagnant mental and all of that, most factual measures show that people think things are gradually, too slowly getting better, as opposed to getting worse, as what Trump is saying. So I think that his performance like a pro wrestler has been this braggadocio, it's the end of the world, and there are some enough people who believe that to support him in the Republican primary.
All right, so that's how Mr. Trump has got this far. How much further can he go, Jim?
No one sanely can rule anything out about Donald Trump at this stage, because nobody, including me, very few people thought he was going to get this far as the Republican nominee. However, the odds become much more steeply stacked against him now that it's a Republican versus Democratic race. And here are the three sort of factual groundings for that. One is, nobody's excited about Hillary Clinton. Many people are excited about Donald Trump. Nonetheless, Hillary Clinton has gotten twice as many votes so far as Donald Trump has. There are, the people who support Trump are loud, but not as numerous as you would think. A second fact is that if you look at all the significant blocs in the United States, women, the largest electoral bloc, Latinos, the largest minority, African-Americans, educated people, people in cities, in almost every one of them, Donald Trump is historically unpopular. For among Latin Americans, it's like 3% positive, 85% negative, et cetera. And that's the block that Republicans have thought they needed. The third factual obstacle he faces is that the Electoral College system, which is a nightmare for the United States, but is how we choose presidents, has a structural Democratic bias. Ever since the time of Bill Clinton in 1992, Democrats have always carried 19 states on the West Coast and the Northeast and the upper Midwest that together have almost enough votes to guarantee the presidency. So if Hillary Clinton carried only those 19 lock states plus Florida, she would win. Trump has to win Florida and Ohio and Pennsylvania and Indiana and Colorado and Nevada and New Mexico and all these swing states. And so everything has to go his way to win.
Say you're wrong and he does win. What would a Trump presidency look like at home and abroad?
The honest answer is no one knows. Because there is no policy of any sort where he's advanced any plausible idea whatsoever. You know, immigration is build a wall and make Mexico pay for it. That's not going to happen. So what else would he do? So the assumption is that he would be a less crazy president than candidate, because he's been just a crazy candidate. And as president, presumably he would get some advice and all that. I still think a person with his temperament is not a good match as commander of the world's most powerful nuclear and military force. So the hope among people resigning themselves to Trump is he'd be better as a president than as a candidate. I think it is a duty of responsible people in the United States and around the world to say, no, this person is not suited to command the largest democracy, the largest military, the largest economy in the world, and take a stand to make sure he is not the 45th president.
And finally, assuming that you're right and he doesn't become the president, nevertheless, he is going to have a very significant legacy already, isn't he? What are the dimensions of the legacy in terms of American, the character of American politics that the Donald will leave, even if he's not successful in November?
You can invent some positive legacy, which is the idea that he and Bernie Sanders together are sort of representing grievances against financial excesses and against gratuitous wars. The one thing I agree with in Donald Trump is his opposition to the Iraq war. I think there are much more profound negative legacies. One is the vulgarization of the campaign process, where it is just like one big reality show and you make fun of people as opposed to having any actual ideas. The more serious damage he's already done, apart from, you know, the U.S. image in the world, is to the internal fabric that it's acceptable for a major party's nominee to mock Mexicans as rapists and to say Muslims should not be allowed in the country and to make fun of people for being fat or handicapped or ugly or some other way not up to his standards of supermodel dumb. So I think the vulgarization of the process is something we're going to have to deal with for a while.
Jim, thank you for speaking to me today. Thank you for being with us over these weeks. You're as persuasive as ever. You've persuaded me as to why Mr. Trump's gone this far, why he won't go much further, but you have not yet persuaded me that America has reached peak crazy. So don't forget there's another 6 months to go. So there's craziness ahead.
That is true, and you have astutely found the hole in my argument, which is why you enjoy the eminence that you do. But thank you, Michael. Deb and I have had a great time here.
All right. Thanks, Jim.